As Di said, my name is Carrie. My husband Richard is the pastor here. And I just love being a part of Hinesboro Christian Church family. We're thankful to be here. I think we're getting ready to start our 10th year here, so I'm thankful. Haven't spoke at all of these. I'm used to speaking to a room of little kids, so you'll just have to bear with me. But I do enjoy our salad luncheons, the themes. It's fun to put everything together, the masterminds. I was just joking with Miss Nancy that I brought a prize for the people in the first three rows, but nobody's up here. Here comes Zandra. Thank you, Zandra. She said, Nancy said, well, all the ladies know where the salads are. So she's down there, and I'll try to not talk too long so we can get down there to have some fellowship and, of course, the yummy salads. But welcome to our spring salad luncheon. Our theme this year, you probably could pick up from our invitations and from the slide behind me, is shoes. Now, I am not a shoe guru, so I'm not an expert. I don't know, you know, I can't say that I'm up here speaking on my qualifications because of my knowledge of footwear, because I'm not. But I've had a lot of fun researching shoes, and I found a lot of information. So I'm going to share some of that with you today. I have learned some interesting facts about shoes, okay? First, there are over 60 different styles of women's shoes, from flip-flops to thigh-high boots. The average woman has 19 pairs of shoes. Okay? Men were the first to wear high heels. Did you know that? They used to wear them as a form of horse riding footwear. And it wasn't until 1818, this was something new, I didn't know this. It wasn't until 1818 that cobblers started to make both left and right foot shoes. Before then, the shoes were identical and much less comfortable. Rich reminded me that Dutch shoes are still like that. There's not a left or right. They're just shoes. I didn't know that. The Romans viewed shoes as a sign of a civilized society. Only the slaves and poor went barefoot. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm guessing there are some ladies in here that barefoot is the way, that's how they want to be. That's their choice. Yeah, I see some hands and some head nods. Yes. This was really staggering, I thought. In the United States, so the United States has the largest footwear market in the world. And in 2021, the footwear market generated over $78 billion U.S. dollars in revenue. That's a lot of shoes. So shoes are important. So I do have a game. It's not just for the first three rows. Sorry, Zandra, but I'm glad you're up here. I want to know who in this room thinks they have the most shoes. Maddie, you think you have the most shoes? Or she just is courageous enough to raise her hands. How many shoes do you think you have, Maddie? How many pairs of shoes? You don't know? Haven't counted them. Yeah. What do you think? 27 pairs of shoes. So she's above average. Good job. Anybody think they have more than 27 pairs?
Above average.
You're above average? You think you have more than 27 pairs?
I think I have over
30. 30 pairs? A couple different 30 pairs? You don't want to say. Is it more than 30 pairs? You have more than 30. Anybody else have more than 30 pairs they're willing to admit? Okay, so 30 pairs will be our winner, and I have a pen that has shoes on it, so you can make a list of what, you know, what you need to organize and stuff. So thank you for sharing. Well, and see, that's not, that was a different question. I didn't ask that question, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, because I bet if anybody in here is willing to be honest, we all have shoes that we hang on to that we haven't worn in maybe a long time. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. So there's some famous shoe sayings. So we're going to say some of those, and I think I'm sure I missed some. So be thinking, if you have one, you can share for us in a minute. But we all know this one. How about if the shoe fits, right? Or I liked this one. You can't buy happiness, but you can buy shoes, and that's kind of the same thing. And I apologize, our font is kind of small, but how about this one? Hope you have an on sale and in your size kind of day. Or the best way to a woman's heart is through her soul. And this one was one of my favorites. Don't criticize a man until you run a mile in his shoes. That way, you'll be a mile away and you'll have his shoes. Or, and there's some that I said weren't up here, what about, those are big shoes to fill. Heard that one? So what are some others? What's some that are on your head that I didn't write up here? Any shoe quotes, famous shoe quotes? Sometimes they say the shoe makes the man, or
waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Waiting for the other shoe to drop. That was one I wondered if anybody would say that. Any others? So many things about shoes. So I want to share some stories. I'm in a women's Bible study group, and we have a fun time on Monday nights. And I said, I'm looking for some shoe stories. We all have memories, and I just couldn't think of a great shoe story. But one of the ladies in my Bible study, she had a great shoe story. So I told her, with her permission, I would share it. And it's actually her friend. They were visiting the Kentucky Derby. We all know the Kentucky Derby is famous for hats, right? I never thought about shoes at Kentucky Derby. But she said they went there, and they've got all the booths and the vendors selling, souvenirs and stuff. And they had flip-flops with roses on it, of course. And they were $11. And they thought they were cute and whatever, but they just were looking around. And they went inside the Derby, and her friend had on high heels. And I think most people dress up for the Derby, which I don't know if you've been to Churchill Downs, but I don't think I would wear high heels, although, if I'm honest, I don't wear high heels for anything, so I wouldn't wear them to a horse race for sure. But she had high heels on, and once you go inside the Kentucky Derby, you can't leave. If you leave, they don't let you back in. So her shoe story was, they got into the Derby, and her friend who had these high heels on had shoes she hadn't worn in a long time. They had been in her closet for a while, maybe a long while, but the heels collapsed. Inside the Derby with her shoes, the heel collapsed, so she needed new shoes. So she thought, they have those flip-flops for $11 outside. Well, they found them in another gift shop inside. But guess what? They weren't $11 anymore. They were $33 inside. So I thought, that's a good story, because sometimes if we don't have the right footwear, it can be costly, right? So that was one thought. Or I liked this, was part of a devotional I read. And it goes like this. A shoe company sent a representative to a foreign country. As soon as he arrived, he emailed his boss back home. Catching the next flight home, he said, nobody in this country wears shoes. So when he returned, the company sent another representative over to the same country. And that second representative emailed his boss back home immediately and said, send me all the shoes that you can make as fast as you can. The market is unlimited here. No one has shoes. And I thought, that's pretty interesting. It's like life, sometimes perspective. We don't want to miss it, right? I want to make sure I have the perspective and the attitude that God wants me to have. Am I seeing things the way he wants me to see them? That, I thought it was pretty neat. You know, this is the same situation, but two totally different takes on that, right? Well, there's lots of biblical lessons about shoes, too. I did lots of study and Googling of shoes in the last several weeks. And I found some spinoffs on parables that I thought were fun, and I'm just going to say them real quickly. One of them was the sower of the seeds. Are you familiar with that parable where in scripture it talks about our hearts are like different kinds of soil that seeds are planted on and such? Well, this author used different types of shoes instead of different types of soil. So that was kind of a fun thing. Or also something I noticed in my research was the prevalence of shoes in the story of the prodigal son. It's probably another story from the Bible that you're familiar with. The son, a man has two sons, and the younger son wanted his inheritance early. He wanted to go out and see the world. And so his dad gives him his inheritance, gives him what he wants. He goes out and parties with friends and wastes all his money. And pretty soon, before too long, his friends and his fortune disappeared, right? They didn't have any left. And he found himself eating like the pigs. And so he thought to himself one day, my father's servants live better than this. I'm going to go back home and ask if I can live as one of my dad's servants. And so the son does that. He goes home, and we read in scripture that the father sees his son coming home, and he welcomes him. And we know this story that he throws a feast. You know, he's not mad at his son. His son asks for forgiveness. But the part that I didn't pick up on before is it says in the scripture that the dad asked for the fattened calf and this big celebration, a robe and shoes. And the shoe part that I never picked up on before is important because in that culture, only the wealthy wore shoes. He was not being welcomed back as a servant. He was being welcomed back as a son. And sons have shoes. And that was that story that I read. I thought that was kind of cool. Again, there's lots of devotionals with talk about feet. I like one that was called A Sermon in Shoes is the most important sermon that you'll hear because it was focusing that how our walk talks louder than our talk talks. So that was our actions speak louder than words, right? Or what about Jesus washing the disciples' feet? There's lots of stories in the Bible about feet and walk and shoes. The armor of God includes shoes, right? So that's another place to find a biblical story about shoes. In fact, the Bible mentions the word walk 366 times. That's a lot of walk, right? That's a lot of shoes. Some of the verses that you've probably heard before that have to deal with shoes are Romans 10:15 says, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." That verse is in the Bible more than once. It's in Isaiah also. Or how about from 2 John 6, it says, "And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. And you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love." What about 2 Corinthians 5:7? "For we walk by faith, not by sight." You've probably heard that one. Or Ephesians 5:15, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise." So as you can see, shoes and our walk are important, but not all shoes are created the same. I shared with Nancy, what kept coming to my mind was an image from Cinderella when the stepsister's trying to put her foot in that glass slipper. It didn't fit right, did it? Have you ever worn shoes that don't fit? Get blisters or your feet hurt? And that could be if they're too small or if they're too big, right? So there's different jobs for different shoes too. And I'm sure you all know that. So we are going to go through life in shoes here real quick. And we start out with baby shoes, right? Baby shoes are so cute. And I have pictures of my kids in their first pair of shoes, but why do we do that? They don't walk in those shoes, right? They don't really serve a purpose other than to maybe look cute, baby shoes, right? But they're fun and we have sweet memories. Then we grow up a little bit, we maybe graduate into tennis shoes where we learn how to walk and run and all kinds of other things that God calls us to do in tennis shoes. Or maybe you're a flip-flop girl. Any flip-flop or sandal girls in here? Yeah, I like flip-flops, okay? Those protect you. I grew up in Southern California, so I learned very quickly at the beach, you don't want to wear tennis shoes at the beach. It's hard to walk in sand with tennis shoes on, but you don't want to be barefoot because a lot of times the sand is hot. So flip-flop provides protection, but it's not as heavy maybe as a tennis shoe. Or maybe you're a slipper girl. Any slipper girls in here? Yes, my kids buy me new slippers every year for Christmas, and they're like, "You already have slippers," but I wear them a lot. If you find me at home, you can bet that I'll be wearing my slippers. Or maybe you're a girl that likes high heels. Anybody like high heels in here? Di likes high heels. You like high heels? I can't balance. I don't know if my ankles are too weak or what. I see the young people at graduation or at homecoming dances, and they're wearing these big high heels, and I'm worried they're going to fall over. I think that's why at the end of the night, all the shoes are on the side of the gym, right? So some people are high heels, right? That's not for me. Mine would be sitting in a box until they collapsed at the Kentucky Derby. We probably all have shoes that we've worn one time. Have you bought a pair of shoes for one-time wear? Maybe. I also told Rich I would share this. Before I got married to Rich, I didn't spend money on shoes. There was a shoe store called Payless Shoe Store when I grew up, And I thought that was the only place to get shoes because that's where all my shoes came from. I don't think we spent more than $10 on shoes. Don't get me wrong, I always had shoes. But it wasn't until I met Rich that he used to work in shoe sales. He said, you need to take care of your feet. And so he introduced me to my first probably $75 pair of shoes. And maybe now he wishes he hadn't done that because there is a difference, right? Sometimes you invest a little bit in a good pair of shoes and they do support you better. So maybe you're a boot kind of girl. Any boot kind of girls in here? More boot kind of girls. And there's different kinds of boots, which we could spend our whole time talking about boots. But I have found out how beneficial snow boots can be on slippery sidewalks, right? I'm, again, from California. My first trip to Michigan, and I did not have boots, and I wish I had, right? I'll just leave that. Different kinds of boots. Or maybe you like a stylish flat shoe. Now, that's what you'll find me in. I'm a Clarks kind of girl. I have lots of them. I don't think I have 30 pairs, but I wear Clarks almost every day. I like them. You can get them in different colors, and it's just what I'm most comfortable in. We all have shoes that are our favorite pair, right? Or maybe you have a favorite shoe memory that you can share downstairs when we're doing our luncheon part, right? Well, do you have any shoes that are difficult to get rid of? Like for whatever reason, they have that special memory. Maybe they match that dress that you haven't been able to wear for 15 years, but maybe someday. So you keep your shoes. Do you have any of those kind of shoes in your closet that, yeah, no, I'm glad to know I'm not the only one, right? Well, my kids make fun of me these days because I have this pair of shoes. They're actually hand-me-down from one of my sons that I use for yard work. I don't like to go out in the grass or the mud in my slippers, so I change to these yard shoes, if you will. They have holes in the bottom, they have holes in the sides, my heel goes out the back. My son comes home from college, he goes, why are you still wearing those shoes? Well, I don't want to take any of my good shoes and turn them into the grass shoes, you know, or the yard shoes, so I wear those. I still have them. I don't want them to get rid of my holy shoes, right? We all have some old shoes. But recently, within the last year, I have been reminded of the importance of the type of shoes you wear for the job you do. Anybody in here wear orthopedics? I'm willing to admit it. Hey, I'm in that club now. Rich took me to a very fancy footwear place where they measured my foot and this thing called my arch. Functioning arch support. I was having some plantar fasciitis and my Clark shoes were not doing well. I work at Sarah Bush, I'm on my feet all the time. So I needed some better shoes. And I had heard that a lot of nurses wear dance goes, which I'm not a nurse, but I thought they're on their feet all day. They're super cute, they come in different colors, you know, that kind of thing. Again, I'm not an expert shoes, but I told Rich, I want to go try dance goes. So he takes me, they get me all measured, fitted. They bring them out and I feel like I have bricks on my feet. I mean, they're just huge and clunky and heavy, but they supported my arch. And I noticed that. So I was like, I'm going to give these a try. So guess what I wear every day to work? I wear my orthopedic shoes. They help my aging feet go a little bit further. And like I said, they were kind of clunky at first, but I have found the benefit very quick. I'm more of a function kind of girl instead of fashion, for sure. So it's true that there's shoes for every job, for all of our ages. We have lots of stories. Some are good stories about shoes. Have you ever lost a shoe? There's more stories about that, but I know you want to get down for the salads, right? So I was trying to think about and pray about what direction do I go when I'm talking about shoes, and then it dawned on me I should talk about direction. We walk in our shoes. The Bible talks about walking in our shoes. So we're going to just talk just briefly about the direction that our shoes take us. And so in all my research, and I looked in lots of different things, I found this really profound quote from a really wise source. And it goes like this. You have brains in your head. You have feet in your shoes. You can steer yourself in any direction you choose. Dr. Seuss has lots of books about shoes, does he not? I don't know why I didn't think about that. I could have saved myself some trouble and some time if I would have researched Dr. Seuss shoe quotes. But I started thinking about that for a while, and it got me to thinking. So the brain part, I want to talk today about Romans 8, 5, and 6. And that scripture goes like this. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. So Dr. Seuss is right. We have brains in our head, right? And the Bible's saying if we live according to our flesh, if we get those shoes that maybe look good, we might have some trouble, right? We might run into some trouble. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. So I started thinking about what is my mind set on today? What is your mind set on today? We live in a day and age where it's very easy to be distracted and discouraged, isn't it? Those are things that guide us to following our flesh. If you listen to the news, if you listen to some of your friends or some of your coworkers, they are not governed by the Spirit. So I'm going to encourage you to seek His truth, right? And then I thought, well, of course we want to live a life of peace, but how? How do we do that? And I want to propose that it's by using the Bible as our roadmap. One of the verses that I memorized as a very young girl, and I know that you are going to be familiar with it also, is Psalm 119, 105. You can't talk about shoes without talking about this scripture, and it goes like this. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I think I memorized that song, see, I'm calling it a song, because Amy Grant, when I was young, sang a song about that. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Just as a lamp brightens the path for our feet to walk, God's word provides the guidance we need to walk in this world. We live in a world with all kinds of crazy ideas. There's things like moral relativism and situational ethics and subjectivism. And those are things that are saying that it makes it hard for us to stay on the path we're supposed to stay on, the one that God wants. It makes it challenging. Well, worldly voices, they say there's lots of ways to get to God, or there's no such thing as absolute truth. Or they might even say, just do what feels good to you. Have you heard that? You do you. That's not in the Bible. That's not part of His roadmap for us. If we aren't careful about the choices that we make, if we listen to those voices to steer our feet instead of relying on God's illuminating truth to guide us on the right roads, we're quickly going to encounter grief and ruin. Only God's word provides the direction that we need. So no matter what shoes you're wearing, seek His word as that light to your path and let Him guide you. If you were here last year, which I think many of you were, you heard me speak about recipes. And I talked about the Bible being a recipe book. And I encouraged you to study, pray, practice, and repeat. We talk about that in our ladies' Bible study all the time. In fact, I usually find which question of the lesson I can use that as the answer. And it's almost every week there's one that the answer is to study God's word, pray, talk with God, ask Him for direction. Practice what He says, and then do it again. Repeat it again. If we seek God's direction by spending time in His word, He'll direct our path. When we pray and ask Him to help us, He'll walk with us no matter where we find ourselves. And choosing to walk in obedience and practice following Him, He'll grow us and mature us. We'll move through those shoes like we looked at earlier, right? He'll fit us into the correct shoes for the job that we have. His word says so. It's a promise. And then we start again. Repeat. Ask God what kind of shoes He wants you to wear. And then once you have your feet in those shoes, fix your eyes on Him to steer you down the path in the direction that He has planned for you. Friends, it will lead to peace. It's a promise. Proverbs 4:26 says this. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. Friends, I want to encourage you today that this is the best roadmap. This is the best GPS. This is the best shoe finder guide that you will ever find. Let God be a lamp onto your path, and then you'll be able to see where you're going. And He has amazing plans for each one of you. If you don't know that already, I would love to talk to you. I know Xandra would talk to you. I know lots of us would be happy to talk to you. So if you don't have Jesus in your heart and you want to know how He can guide your path, please talk to us later. We're going to have some fun time downstairs. So finally, friends, hold your Bible close. Give careful thought. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Turn to the Word of God for direction. Let it provide illumination, insight, direction, and guidance for you. And like my orthopedics, it might feel kind of clunky at first. It might feel kind of awkward and uncomfortable. But if you keep following His path, He'll equip you, and you'll be able to go farther with a lot less pain, just like my functioning arch supports. So I'm glad that you guys came, and please join me in prayer right now. Father, thank you for all the ladies that are here today. Thank you for their willingness to set aside time from their busy schedules to come together and fellowship and also maybe get a little nugget of truth from the Bible or see something in a new way. Lord, thank you for shoes. Thank you that they provide our feet and provide protection for our feet and also some style too. Thank you that you've made us all different, just like the different kinds of shoes, and that we're all called to wear different shoes too. You've made us all different. Lord, thank you for the salads downstairs. I pray a blessing on the meal we're about to have. And thank you for all the ladies that prepared that with love. And I just pray that our fellowship time together, that we can honor you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.